Margu Pardalt boarded the odd-looking aircraft before dawn. If not for the briefings, she'd have had no idea that such craft existed. On Xavier, she had seen only surface-to-station shuttles and low-flying air cars or flitters. Her years at the Academy had introduced her to high-altitude passenger aircraft, like the one she'd been in from drylands to the coast. But this uneasy compromise between aircraft and boat looked like something a mad scientist would come up with. Four fat engines on the high-set wings, with whirligig propellers set into adjustable ducts. A peculiar blob hanging from the end of each wing, suspended on a thin pole. The bottom of the fuselage had the conchoidal shape, scooped and ridged, that she associated with shattered glass. She found it hard to believe it would actually fly. This time, the craft carried only three passengers besides its crew. One was a gray-haired major with a pinched mouth and a narrow line of decorations which she recognized as efficiency awards. Admin, most likely. He went to the head of the little line waiting on the dock as if by rights, boarded first, and installed himself in a seat midway down the port side, where he immediately flicked on his seat lamp and opened a hand comp. The other passenger had waved Margu ahead, with a flamboyant gesture that matched his flamboyant appearance. In the harsh lights of the harborage, his leather jacket blazed a garish yellow, and the metallic decorations glittered. Margu climbed over the entrance combing and followed the major, almost stumbling once when the gentle motion of the seaplane on the water surprised her. She picked out a window seat on the starboard side. As she buckled in, she looked up to see the third passenger watching.
One of those?
He had pulled off his cap, revealing fine gray hair fluffed around a bald pate, and in this light she could see that his yellow jacket might be some theatrical troupe's idea of a uniform. Its shoulders were decorated with loops of green braid, and a line of stars on the upstanding collar, now open to reveal a green shirt. His dark pants were actually green.
May I? I'm really quite harmless.
Margu had hoped for a quiet ride, perhaps even a nap, but courtesy demanded that she say yes, so she nodded. A crew chief checked to be sure they were all wearing the PPU and a life vest, and that all the survival gear aboard was actually in place. Predictably, the man in yellow wasn't wearing his PPU. Unpredictably, he was quite cheerful about having to change, and quicker than she would have expected. Margu had flown between the stars, but never over large bodies of water. She began to realize that this was serious. Then the pilot swung the stumpy plane around, revved its engines, and Margu felt acceleration shoving her back. The plane slammed its way across the low ripples of the harbor, spray blurring the lights outside. A few moments later, they were airborne. The headlands of Dark Harbor, edged with lights, fell away behind them, and then it was nothing but darkness below. Down there somewhere was water, invisible to the eye, but cold and wet. Margu shivered. To her relief, her seat companion turned a little away and fell asleep almost immediately. By dawn, they were flying under high clouds, and the water below looked like a vast sheet of wrinkled silk, patched with shades of blue and green and silver that she could not identify.
I hope my snoring didn't keep you awake.
No, sir.
I'm no sir, m'lady. I'm Professor Gustav Ederson. If you want my dull, boring, everyday name, which goes with my dull, boring, everyday profession, about which I cannot talk, or we will both be in serious trouble. Or you could call me Don Alfonso Dundee, most noble knight of the Order of Old Terra, and we could have a pleasant conversation about anything you wish.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm sorry. Never accost young ladies before breakfast with strange tales out of distant mythology. You've heard of Spal?
No, sir.
Well, it's the biggest collection of galoots and misfits in the universe. And the letters stand for the Society for the Preservation of Antique Lore, Spal. Antique lunacy is more like it. I have no faith whatever in the actuality of our tomfoolery, but it is fun. We got the idea back when the rich folks in the family first took up antique studies and arts, long before your time, m'lady. And we put our own interpretation on it. Let them flit about with fencing masters from the Company of Sabers, creating titles for themselves and imagining that they're recreating scenes from old Earth history. They're so serious, it takes all the fun out of it.
Margue listened to the rolling flow of words and wondered if the man were entirely sane. His bright, sidelong look seemed to catch her thought in midair, as if it were a ball being tossed.
You wonder if I'm crazy. Of course you do. I'm not sure myself, and my wife tells me regularly that my pot is a little cracked. But the fact of the matter is, craziness is not necessarily a bar to genius, and my kind of craziness consists only in boring total strangers to distraction in airplanes. Well, spacecraft. Oh, anywhere else I can trap them.
He grinned at her with such obvious good humor that Margue felt herself relaxing.
What is that yellow jacket?
Ah, good question. There was a colony world, second order colony out of old Earth by way of Congreve, which had successive waves of settlers. They didn't get along, so of course they started fighting. Now back then, fabricators were pretty basic machines, couldn't turn out any useful sort of protective garments, so the colonists started using leather from their herds of cattle. The color told what side they were on. Mine is a semi-accurate reproduction of a Mycenaeus officer's uniform of the Third Mycenaeus Tangrat War, except the insignia. I should have a little wooden bird, but I couldn't find it before I left, so I just took the stars off a model spaceship. I thought stars might be more impressive when I had to travel with fleet officers. But of course, they see that canary yellow jacket and they try not to laugh. But, I'm talking too much about myself. You just whap me on the head when I do that. That's what my wife does. Or you could ignore me and look out the window if you want. I can see that you're an ensign, with red hair exactly the color of my niece's. Who are you?
Margue Pardalt, from Xavier.
His face lit up, and her heart sank.
Xavier! Ah, you know, the tactical analysis of the most recent engagement is fascinating. I was most impressed with the fire control of the Benignity ships.
The Benignity ships?
Yes. Well, now, no disrespect to Commander, whoever it was.
Serrano.
Ah, but the Benignity performance was markedly better than expected. And there's new data from this very facility. Well, not where we're going, but where I assume you've been, the Copper Mountain base, to indicate that they upgraded one of our ships they captured. For instance, the time to recharge has been... Oh, no, I mustn't get onto this.
Margue could see the effort it cost him to rein that enthusiasm back.
I tell you what, let's talk about wet navies. Here we are flying over a superb large ocean, and I'll bet you've never studied wet navy history, have you?
Only a little.
Margue's mind scrabbled frantically in search of some crumb of data to prove that she had studied it at all, but only the word Trafalgar rose up. She couldn't remember if it had been an admiral, a ship, or a battle.
Trafalgar?
Oh, yes, of course. A mighty battle indeed, that was. But perhaps a little remote for our purposes. Are you familiar with the application of Nelson's sail tactics to colonial naval battles?
No, sir.
Well, consider, if you will, the archipelagos of Skinner III.
He spread his hands, as if touching a particular geographic area. And Margue wondered if she ought to admit she didn't know what an archipelago was. She didn't have time.
40,000 islands, at least, colonized with intent to exploit its obvious advantage for aquaculture, but as always underfunded and subject to piracy. Abundant timber, so...
Margue pressed the button on her comm as her companion watched, bright-eyed.
Ensign, Major!
Margue glanced back and saw the other officer sit up. He met her eyes across the plain.
There's some kind of trouble at Stack Islands. Apparently personnel are missing, believe lost at sea.
What personnel?
Well, Base 3 commander and a guard corporal. There's also a life raft missing from the 3 base air car hangar and evidence of a struggle. We're to join the search. They don't have any long-range craft and they suspect the life raft was blown west by the storm into the North Current.
Margu almost said that her orders were to get those directives to the base commanders without delay, but decided not to. The pilot knew she was a courier, and if someone were down there in a raft, surely that had to come first. She hoped.